This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. And here's what we have on tap for this hour. Medal of Honor Monday, of course, is coming up in a couple minutes. We're going to get to some emails here. I want to address this illegal immigration thing because someone gave some testimony on it. I'm going to play. We'll touch on a couple other brief items, but we all know we're waiting to get to the history, which is an hour from now. So we have Medal of Honor Monday this hour. Julie Kelly's going to break down some of the Russian collusion hoax stuff this hour. We have illegal immigration testimony this hour. I'm going to hopefully squeeze in some emails, but I don't want to make promises I can't keep. And then the last hour, the show gets driven off the rails, and it's history night as we talk about the kamikazes. But for now, it's time to do Medal of Honor Monday, like we do every single Monday at this time. The start of hour two belongs to the heroes, the guys who earned a Medal of Honor. They give them a citation. They write up what they did. Sometimes it's long and descriptive. Sometimes it's short and garbage, and I have to expand on it, but they write down what they did. We pause on everything on Mondays, start of hour two, and we just lay it out. We just lay out what they did. We read it. This is not unique to me. I didn't do any of these things. I'm not one of these guys. You can do this is what I'm saying. In your home, with your kids, with the sports team you coach, with a class you teach. You can talk about heroes, and we should. People don't know these names. Now, it's going to sound like I'm doing a tease for the history that's coming up in an hour from now. And I guess in a way I am, but I need to explain something. And I may not even get to this portion of the kamikaze history for today, but this is an important part to understand about the citation I'm about to read. The citation is for Richard Miles McCool Jr. He was in the Navy, World War II in the Pacific. But you would never get what I'm about to explain from his citation, so I need to explain it. The grand finale of Japanese kamikaze activity in World War II was during the Battle of Okinawa. That's where our story is going to end. It won't begin there. We might not even get to that tonight. But just know the big final battle was Okinawa. That's when they were throwing all their planes at us. It was a nightmare. They killed thousands. And one of the strategies, really the strategy we used to try to stop them, was they were known as picket stations. Okay, picket stations. So what does that mean? Picture Okinawa. Just make it a circle. That's fine. Doesn't matter. The shape of the island doesn't matter. 15 stations, essentially areas of a few ships, 3-4 ships, 15 of them were set up on a huge ring outside of Okinawa. Why? Their job, these few ships, there weren't a ton of them, these few ships per station, their job was to catch the kamikazes coming in so they could relay the information to the bigger fleet. That was their job. They served a critical role. They did that job well. They saved lots of lives. They also died in droves. Because you are there. You're there to serve as the warning system. Hey, got some kamikazes coming. Get some planes in the air. Get ready. But there was nobody in the air to protect them, for the most part. The guys at the picket stations died in droves due to kamikaze attacks. And this citation takes place outside of Okinawa. Mr. Richard Miles McCool Jr. was in command of a ship at one of those picket stations. And here's what he did.
Ready, aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as commanding officer of the USS LCS 122 during operations against enemy Japanese forces in the Ryukyu chain 10th and 11th of June, 1945. Sharply vigilant during hostile air raids against Allied ships on radar picket duty off Okinawa on the 10th of June, Lieutenant McCool aided materially in evacuating all survivors from a sinking destroyer which had sustained mortal damage under the devastating attacks. When his own craft was attacked simultaneously by two of the enemy's suicide squadron early on the evening of the 11th of June, he instantly hurled the full power of his gun batteries against the plunging aircraft, shooting down the first and damaging the second before it crashed his station in the conning tower and engulfed the immediate area in a mass of flames. Although suffering from shrapnel wounds and painful burns, he rallied his concussion shock troops and initiated vigorous firefighting measures and then proceeded to rescue several of the trapped in a blazing compartment, subsequently carrying one man to safety despite the excruciating pain of additional severe burns. Unmindful of all personal danger, he continued his efforts without respite until aid arrived from other ships and he was evacuated. By his staunch leadership, capable direction, and indomitable determination throughout the crisis, Lieutenant McCool saved the lives of many who otherwise might have perished and contributed materially to the saving of his ship for further combat service. His valiant spirit of self-sacrifice in the face of extreme peril sustains and enhances the highest traditions of U.S. naval service. Now, you and me, we're going to dig into a lot of kamikaze stuff at the start of next hour, so I won't go into all of it, but just this particular instance. First, when our ships were hurt, wounded, it's just awesome to read the stories about how every other ship in the area would rally to its side immediately, everyone in it together. They would pull up beside it and they'd be spraying it down to put out fires. They're pulling people out of the water and they're doing this. This is what was happening with Commander McCool here, Lieutenant McCool. I guess he achieved captain at some point. I'll call him Captain. Captain McCool, he's helping pull the survivors out of the water. While at the same time, you're still under attack. The enemy doesn't stop just because some ship is burning, some ship is going down. The enemy knows the second he sees the smoke, it was always the smoke was the tell. When he sees the smoke, he knows there's a ship wounded. They're in trouble. The smoke is like turning on a light at night and the moths just come to the flame. Any one of these pilots, whether they be kamikaze or otherwise, when they see an American ship in the water pouring smoke out of it, they recognize an opportunity to sink one, and they all dive at it. So not only are you there helping and pulling people out, you have to be aware you are now a target because you're by them, and they're diving on you, and they started diving on him. Well, the plane nails his ship. By the grace of God, and this happened I don't know that I would say often. I've read a bunch about it during my extensive research for this show tonight. The bomb, the plane blew up, but the bomb itself, sometimes it would go off in the ship. Other times, just God looking out for you that day, it would go through it and then blow up, travel all the way out the bottom or out the side. That's what happened here. It blows up. McCool, when he wakes up, he's alone and burnt. And they said he had shrapnel wounds. He's still, to the day he died, I think he died in 2008. He's buried at the cemetery at Annapolis, by the way, the Naval Academy. He died with a piece of his own bone. They think it was his bone, but a piece of someone's bone stuck in his liver that they could never remove. That he wakes up dazed beyond belief, burnt, shrapnel all over his body, and then proceeds, and we'll go into this more probably next hour if I can get to all of it today. He then proceeds to fight a raging inferno while dragging men out of burning areas. Everything's hot, carries a guy out. And you know the most amazing, well, not the most amazing part, but one of the most amazing parts of this story, he didn't remember any of it. He was so concussed, so messed up from that explosion that when people started telling him stories, dude, you're a hero, you're a hero, you're a hero. He's like, ah, I'm not sure about that. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that. But everyone who was there kept telling the same story. Hey, this McCool guy's a freaking beast. He's yanking people out. They finally, Truman was the one who gave it to him. Truman gave him the Medal of Honor, and he, to the day he died, didn't really remember doing any of it. Wild, right? It's almost as wild as not giving your dog rough greens. I couldn't imagine. What, Chris? Why would you do that? That's wild. It's wild that we give our dogs only dog food, and we pretend like there's nutrition in it. It's because they lie to us, of course. They slap a big label on the front of the dog food, don't they? What's in your dog's dog food? Is it the beef blend? Ah, this is the lamb and rice that Muffy loves. That's all a lie. Well, I'm sure there was some of that in there in the beginning, but they cooked it all out. Let me ask you, if there was actually lamb in your dog's food, how long do you think that lamb would last on the shelf in the pet store? Not very, huh? They killed all the lamb. It's all gone. We feed our dogs empty calories, no nutrition, every day, and we wonder why we lose them all at 10 years old. Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. Number one dog supplement in America for a reason. You will see so many differences in your dog, his energy, his coat, his breath. Go to roughgreens.com or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. Use the promo code Jesse, 214-ROUGH-DOG or roughgreens.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of it, or maybe you have one of these weird affiliates that cuts out part of the show, maybe you're going to miss history. Just download the podcast. It's free. Anybody can do it. It's easy. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, it's all free. Just download the podcast. It may end up being a two-part history thing because there's a lot to go in. There's a lot of background. If it is, download the podcast. Listen at your leisure. And remember, Julie Kelly is going to join us about 10 minutes from now. Talk about this Russian hoax stuff. She has some bombshells dropping on that. Lisa Monaco is one of these ugly communist hags who's been tearing through our country for a while, and Julie Kelly is all over it. Now, I was talking at the end of last hour about how if you have a dirty city, you know how America's cities are dirty and they're crime-ridden. That's on purpose. There are countries all over the world that have cities that are not dangerous and not dirty. We Americans, we are so used to that, we think that's just the city. Oh, yeah. Someone got murdered last night? That's just New York. No. That's a choice. It's a choice that has been made. And that also goes, as I mentioned at the end of last hour, for an open border. It is not difficult in the modern world to secure your border, to stop illegals
from coming into your country. It's not difficult at all. Deporting people is more difficult, but that can be done too. But securing your border is not difficult. So if you have a country that has an open border, like we did for 4 years, it's not an accident. It's on purpose. It's not an accident. It's on purpose. Democrats got elected in 2020 and opened the border on purpose. Don't you dare let them get away with, whoops, we didn't know, we made mistakes. Nope. They filled up your country with rapists and murderers on purpose. And remember this. We all hate slavery. At least I hope you do. I've always hated it. It just blows me away. Hell, that's the common theme throughout history. Human beings own other human beings. We hate it. I hate it. You hate it. Okay, we all hate it. We got that. The largest slave trade in human history was done on purpose by Democrats across your southern border during Joe Biden's 4 years. Now, maybe you thought I was overstating that. I'm going to play something for you. This is a former Border Patrol agent. J.J. Carroll was his name. He was testifying in front of Congress. And maybe you've questioned it in the past when I say that voting for Democrats in this modern era is an act of evil. I believe it is an evil act. Okay? Listen to this.
I state without reservation that the United States federal government is the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history. The probability that thousands of these UACs are being raped at this very moment is 100%. Chairman Higgins, Ranking Member Correa, Chairman Bishop, Ranking Member Ivey, and the members of the subcommittee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak about the evil of child trafficking caused by the open border policies under President Joe Biden and his administration. I served in the United States Border Patrol for 24 years until I retired as a deputy patrol agent in charge in San Diego sector. I worked under five presidential administrations, and only one president secured the border, President Donald Trump. Border Patrol agents went from working and being supported by the greatest border president in American history to the worst, President Joe Biden. My last year in the Border Patrol was Joe Biden's first year in office. On his first day in office, I watched in disbelief as 94 executive orders cascaded down from Washington, D.C., obliterating every immigration policy that had been provided the most secure border in America's history. Border Patrol agents were forced to carry out unconstitutional orders that violated every law in the Immigration Nationality Act. President Biden, through Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, created policy out of thin air, ignored federal immigration law, and facilitated the largest mass invasion into America that the world has ever seen. The United States of America will have spent hundreds of billions of dollars in 4 years to fund the needs of over 50 million illegal aliens that populate our nation. Between 1 in 6 and 1 in 7 residents in America is an illegal alien. America has suffered the greatest demographic shift in modern history. After serving in the United States Border Patrol for 24 years, spending a year researching and writing a best-selling book entitled Invaded, The Intentional Destruction of the American Immigration System, and filming two documentaries, I state with complete certainty that Biden, Harris, and Mayorkas intentionally, strategically, and purposely weaponized illegal immigration and used it as a tool to fundamentally transform America. Inside this invasion, the unspoken evil of child trafficking, and more specifically, child sex trafficking, has flourished. At the end of this current administration, the number of children trafficked will have grown to over 550,000 unaccompanied alien children.
Democrats did that on purpose. They brought these people into your country on purpose. They facilitated the child sex trade on purpose. This was not accidental. Voting for Democrats in this modern era is an act of evil because Democrats are evil. I hate slavery. Really? Do you vote Democrat? No, you don't. You support it. All right. Let's get to Julie Kelly and her latest on the Russian hoax stuff. I support you buying an IQ sense. That's what I support. I want your meat to be perfect. One of the great joys in life is having perfect meat. Meat that you know is going to deliver the goods every single time. And that's my meat, because I cook with an IQ sense. It's not because I know what I'm doing. I don't know the first thing about brisket or pulled porks or steaks or chickens. I know nothing about it. Even beer can chicken, which is famously easy, I've ruined it until I got an IQ sense. Now, my phone tells me when it's done. Why not? Phone tells us everything else. The wireless cooking thermometer, the IQ sense, hooks up to the app on your phone. You put it in the meat. You leave it in the meat. No more opening, closing. Hang on, I have to check again. No more. And your phone will just be all beep, 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 done. Pull it out. Let it rest. 15% off at chefiq.com with the code Jesse. Chefiq.com, code Jesse. Julie Kelly, next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday, and music that bad can only mean that the great Julie Kelly made the terrible mistake, which she should know better. She didn't choose her intro music, therefore you get the worst song we can find on short notice. Julie Kelly, Go subscribe to her Substack, Declassified. She has some amazing things dropping right now. Julie, how could you be so foolish?
I don't know. It caught me off guard. It never should. I should have said something from Ozzy. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Ozzy. But I didn't, and that's what I got. And so that's what I deserve. It's like you and your bad food takes. So.
You know what? We'll get back to that in a minute, Julie, because I only have the best food takes. You just focus on the reaping you just did for the sowing you did. But before we get to that, I want you to tell me who Lisa Monaco is. I've never heard of her.
So Lisa Monaco, I believe, is one of the unknown but key, really instrumental Russiagate perpetrators. And not only was she deeply involved with working with her her predecessor, John Brennan, who is National Security Advisor for Barack Obama, and then, Homeland Security Advisor for Obama, that John Brennan had held that position before, she working with John Brennan, Jim Clapper, and Jim Comey in the summer of 2016 to concoct the Russia election interference hoax. So, of course, she leaves the White House in January of 2017. She becomes a CNN national security analyst, where she takes that position to continue beating up on Donald Trump for 4 years. Then Joe Biden appoints her deputy attorney general, the number two, basically running the day-to-day Biden DOJ under Merrick Garland, who is mostly the figurehead. She immediately turns her sights once again to Donald Trump, investigating him for both the events of January 6th and allegedly hoarding classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, resulting in the two unprecedented criminal federal indictments against the president. So if there's one common thread, Jesse, between Russiagate in 2016, going all the way through the end of 2024, including special counsel Jack Smith, the one person who pops up consistently is Lisa Monaco.
Okay, Julie, what do we know about her as far as, I mean, this person sounds like a committed communist who's been worming her way through the government, using government power against her political opponents for years. What's her background? What do we know?
Well, that's a good question. As I put in my piece today, and this is part one of a two-part series into Lisa Monaco and how she, I believe she probably is going to be part of this, what they call grand conspiracy investigation underway at DOJ and FBI. But what I write about today is her background and then everything that she did in the Obama White House. But her government service, her government gig goes back to the 1990s, where she was a top staffer to then Senator Joe Biden's Senate Judiciary Committee. She then was part of the Enron Task Force with one of our favorite people, Andrew Weissman. So she was on that task force to try to destroy companies and come up with new laws related to that scandal. And then I think most interestingly, she was chief of staff to then FBI Director Robert Mueller, who, as we all know, then was appointed special counsel to investigate the non-existent Trump-Russia election collusion hoax. He was appointed in May of 2017. So, and of course, taking with him Monaco's buddy Andrew Weissman, who really ran the special counsel's office for 2 years, coming up empty-handed on evidence of Trump-Russia election collusion, damaging, destroying many lives in the process. But so Lisa Monaco's, her roots are very deep and very wide in Washington, D.C.
Speaking with Julie Kelly, Declassified is her Substack. She's dropping some big ones out there. Julie, you have excellent sources, no question about that. What do we know, or what, at least what do we think so far about how seriously the DOJ is taking this? All my little birdies are telling me they're taking it very seriously. And who might go down? I you know, Barack Obama isn't going to prison, much as I might want that. I understand all that. Who's going to burn for this, Julie?
You are correct. So anyone who thinks that Barack Obama is going to be charged, he won't. And certainly going to prison on some sort of conviction, not only will he never be go to trial and be convicted, but the Supreme Court's immunity ruling last year, and even the President Trump just mentioned this, protects Barack Obama from being criminally indicted for things that he did while he was in the White House. So anyone who thinks that this is going to end up with Barack Obama in handcuffs, please disabuse yourself of that vision. However, it does appear both the DOJ, FBI, and the CIA, we saw John Ratcliffe talking about this again over the weekend, focusing on former CIA Director John Brennan, who manufactured that January 2017, what they call the ICA intelligence community assessment, claiming that the Kremlin was trying to help Donald Trump win and defeat Hillary Clinton. No evidence of that, as we know, thanks to new disclosures by DNI Director of National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard. Also looks like Jim Comey. That's going to be a tough one, but I think what you heard Ratcliffe and former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes say over the weekend is if this is indeed a conspiracy and they can take, say, what would be the last act of the conspiracy. Of course, conspiracies can go on for years. It certainly did in this case, the lawfare against President Trump. If that last act is within the past 5 years, then I think all of the conspiracy perps can face conspiracy charges, such as conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct. Other conspiracy counts, maybe even seditious conspiracy. So that appears to be some of the statutes or charges that this DOJ and FBI are looking at. But I don't think you're going to have top officials, Jesse, go out and say these sort of things in the public and release these documents, with more coming this week, just to end up, you know, empty-handed and frustrate the base once again, with no one being held accountable for what happened to the president and those around him.
Seditious conspiracy. Wow, Julie, I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like that charge has come up several times in recent years, hasn't it? Where have I heard that before? I'm having a hard time placing it.
Yes. Well, Jesse, let me help you jog your memory. This was seditious conspiracy is a post-Civil War statute. And the Biden DOJ, along with Lisa Monaco, dusted that off and used that seditious conspiracy statute. That is tantamount to treason. That has historically only been used against foreign terrorists, like the Blind Sheik. The DOJ charged the Blind Sheik, the first World Trade Center bomber, and his associates with seditious conspiracy. That's usually what that statute is reserved for. Not the case when it came to the January 6th prosecution, the Biden DOJ indicting at least two dozen J6ers with that felony punishable by up to life in prison, and successfully convicting many of them for doing nothing more than engaging in a political protest at a government building on a Wednesday afternoon. So if this can apply to people like Enrique Tarrio and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, which is what that statute was used against, members of those two groups, then it certainly can be applied to these top perps that we're all discussing now. So we'll see if they're going to be using that. I'm actually working on a piece now. Hopefully will be out next week that demonstrates how we can apply the Biden DOJ's use of seditious conspiracy in these cases as well.
Julie, what's your problem with my food takes?
Okay, how can you not like sauerkraut?
Well, Julie, I've never once looked at a bowl of spaghetti and thought someone should vomit in this. That's why. And that's what sauerkraut smells like. And that's what it tastes like. It's disgusting. My parents used to cook it, and I would have to go outside all day long to escape the horrible odor. How could you like something like that?
I love sauerkraut. And of course, any cabbage derivative is very good for you. I'm going to send you some recipes that I developed for my cooking class with sauerkraut, and you are going to love it. No, the house does not smell good. You are correct, but it's good for your insides. And I'm still waiting for your assessment of the frozen deep dish Chicago pizza that I sent you a few years ago. Still,
Julie,
I don't know if that changed your mind.
I think we should probably remain friends, so I'm going to hold my review back on that Chicago pizza review. I don't understand how anyone could call that pizza. Julie Kelly, everybody, her Substack is Declassified. Go subscribe to it. Julie Kelly did send me a deep dish Chicago pizza because I was dogging on it. Garbage. Complete garbage. Chris, you can't even imagine. Garbage. But look, I had my chalk that day, so I got through it. I was strong enough, full of enough energy to wade through the mountain of goop and whatever you call that pizza. But I only had that much testosterone because I've been taking natural herbal supplements from Chalk for over 3 years. You want to be man enough to tackle a Chicago pizza that's gross? Takes a lot of effort. Go get some natural herbal supplements. Go get a male vitality stack from Chalk. Ladies, get a female vitality stack for yourself. And I'm warning everybody right now, we're going to be talking kamikazes in like 15 minutes from now. At the top of the hour, Chris? Is it the top of the? At the top of the hour, we're going to be talking kamikazes. You better have your energy up for that. It's about to get spicy and good. Go get a Chalk subscription now, and your life is about to change for the better. CHOQ.com/Jesse. CHOQ.com/Jesse. Or you can call or text them. 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday, 10 minutes away from history time. About to do the history of the kamikazes on the Jesse Kelly Show. But, well, I guess the kamikazes weren't actually part of the show. But either way, you understand what I'm saying. We're going to do the kamikaze history. But let's wrap up a few things before we get to that. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, I'm fascinated. Maybe it's just because I'm a political nerd like you. I'm already fascinated with the 2028 presidential race. And I'm really fascinated by Democrats and how they handle things. And when I say things, I mean, everyone hates Democrats right now. They keep finding new and impressive lows for their approval rating in the country. Just everyone's mad at them. Everyone hates them. So if you're a Democrat who wants to win back the White House, which that's every Democrat, you're going to start having to sift through the why. And they are well aware of something you and I've talked about many times before. The tranny stuff is a political loser. It's not only evil and sick and wrong and crazy, all the other words you put on it, just pure politics wise, it's a loser. It's a horrible thing for a political party to try to sell to the American people because it doesn't even look right. Everyone knows a dude can't become a woman. Everyone knows a woman can't become a dude. It just looks bad. But here's the problem. Money. Politics, lots and lots of politics is about money. Money is necessary in politics. You have to have it. You have to pay staff. You have to pay commercials. You have to buy this. You have to buy that. Raising money in politics, you may not like it. I may not like it. It's super important. When I ran for Congress twice, I hated it. I hated asking people for their money. It felt moochy, felt gross and wrong, but I wasn't wealthy. I couldn't fund it myself. I just stand up and I need your money. It's what I need. Money's important. International LGBTQ demon money is gigantic. There are huge, huge wealthy benefactors, and they will demand some sort of strict adherence to that demonic garbage. They just will. They're going to demand you bend the knee. So how do you walk that tightrope if you're a Democrat? For instance, if you're the Rear Admiral, Pete Buttigieg, as soon as you hop off your bike that may or may not have a bike seat on it, and you go do an interview, how do you let the LGBTQ demon mob know you're on their side while also trying to let middle America know, hey, I really don't want your daughter to have the crap kicked out of her on the basketball court. You are about to hear a lot of what I'm about to play. They're trying to thread that needle just right, like they so often do, trying to signal to the animals, we're with you, we'll burn everything down, while also trying to tell Norm and Norma, I'm not a weirdo, I'm not a freak. You know what it really reminds me of? In fact, pull this up, Chris. It reminds me of that Gavin Newsom answer on the exact same subject that he did on the Sean Ryan show a couple weeks ago. It's almost an identical answer. Listen to this. You're going to hear a lot of this over the next few years.
When President Trump says something like, no boys and girls sports, which is a phrase that they use, it sounds like you're not signing on to that.
I think that chess is different from weightlifting, and weightlifting is different from volleyball, and middle school is different from the Olympics. So that's exactly why I think that we shouldn't be grandstanding on this as politicians. We should be empowering communities and organizations and schools to make the right decisions.
Just that was what, 25 seconds? Listen to all those buzzwords without saying a single thing. Put yourself in the mind of some deranged demonic super freak. And you're an evil nutbag, and you want to tell your kindergarten class, that's the only reason you became a teacher, you want to tell them all to switch their gender. Do you think he's speaking to you? Yeah?
When President Trump says something like, no boys and girls sports, which is a phrase that they use, it sounds like you're not signing on to that.
I think that chess is different from weightlifting, and weightlifting is different from volleyball, and middle school is different from the Olympics. So that's exactly why I think that we shouldn't be grandstanding on this as politicians. We should be empowering communities and organizations and schools to make the right decisions.
Stop grandstanding. Start empowering communities. If you're some deranged freak kindergarten teacher, you could convince yourself he's on your side. But what if you're a normie Democrat? Maybe you're an old school union guy. You hate Republicans. You've always voted Democrat. But gosh, this tranny ugliness. Is he on your side?
When President Trump says something like no boys and girls sports, which is a phrase that they use, it sounds like you're not signing on to that.
I think that chess is different from weightlifting.
Sounds very similar to what Gavin Newsom said on the Sean Ryan show a couple weeks ago.
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9 year old, just became nine. Come on, man, I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting, just the issue of age. As someone that's been so focused on equality, broadly LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage. Mm-hmm. The trans issue for me is also novel. It's over the last few years. I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else. Whole pronoun thing, trying to understand all of that.
3 years we're going to have to listen to this tightrope walking. Now, let me talk to you before we do history about finding that next great employee. Summer is here. Businesses are hiring. It's business hiring season. Where will you go to find that employee you need? You're going to take an ad in the paper? Look, have fun with that. You're going to throw a sign on the door, we're hiring? Let me ask you something, honestly. When's the last time you found a great employee doing that? It's the year 2025. Even old crotchety Jesse knows that ZipRecruiter's the only way. They're right there online. Do it online. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good on the first day. The employee you're looking for is already at ZipRecruiter, just waiting for you to start your account for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you get one, start an account for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Let's get away from this and do some history. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.